Just looking at our season in review, I think, you know, for the most part, I want to thank our fans for one, in terms of their undying support for our team and for our organization and their passion and their commitment. We can't do this without them, and we appreciate their, obviously, their patience and their frustrations, and I understand it. We get it, and you know, we feel like that this season was very challenging, for the most part because of our decision to go young. And as we said before, it wasn't an excuse. We've had 82 rookie starts, which I believe is the most in the NFL by a large margin. And if you factor in guys like Talvin Smith and Aaron Colvin, when they played, you know, they played starter reps but didn't necessarily start games. So it was probably a little bit more than that. But I got to give a lot of credit to our coaching staff. I've said this before. I think over the last 2 years, Coach Bradley, and not to diminish any other coaches in the NFL, but has probably had the most challenging job out of anybody in the NFL in terms of our roster turnover, in terms of our youth. To play that many rookies, to make a commitment to develop young players is kind of unheard of in this league. And Coach Bradley is at the forefront of doing it, and because we're doing it the way we believe from day one, and we're doing it because we have a tremendous owner, Shad Khan, who's believes in our vision, believes in our process of how we want to build this and continue to build this team. And I think we're probably right on par for where we thought we would be at this point in time. So with that being said, I'll open up to any questions you guys have.
Surprised you didn't have more than 3 wins, though?
I wouldn't say I'm completely surprised, no. I think this season kind of went I thought we would have the opportunity to win maybe somewhere between 4 and 7 wins this year. And I think we had that. We didn't capitalize on some of those opportunities. And, you know, in the NFL, it's a highly competitive league. And but, you know, I'm proud of the way our players played and competed to the last second.
You led at half or the second half of the last 4 games, won just one of those. Is that the next step for this group, is to finish off those games?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking back over the 2-year period, our first year was we wanted to find a culture of what we wanted to build here. And Coach Bradley and his staff has done a great job doing that. Going into this past season, we wanted to identify a core of players that are going to be here for a long period of time. We feel like we've done that. And going into next year, I think it's about making a difference. It's about making a difference on our roster. It's about making a difference and the outcome of games. So,
where do you see the roster, the biggest needs going forward?
Well, you know, Coach Bradley's been tied up with the coaching staff for the last 48 hours since the last game. He and I, you know, talk periodically, but I think this is more of season in review going forward. We're going to address every position, and you know, as you guys know, we're gonna compete to put the best roster out there.
How much guidance will you give Gus when it comes to potential staff changes, if there are any?
You know, those are coaches' decisions. I firmly believe with the coaches as the kind of like the CEO of the coaches and the players. He'll ask my guidance. He'll ask my opinion. But I try not to get too involved in that because Gus is really the expert in X's and O's, and our staff is the expert in X's and O's. I may ask some tough questions. We may have some tough conversations, but at the end of the day, that's Gus's decision.
Since it wasn't necessarily in the wins column, where did you feel like you made progress this year as a team?
Well, that's a good question. Defensively, I think all year they played really solid football, what I would consider playoff caliber football, especially on third down. And our defensive line, they have 45 sacks, 6 in the NFL, with an offense that really hasn't produced and put them in position to sack the quarterback has been great. I think it's been the most sacks here since, 2005. And, you know, we have to play good defense and we have to be able to run the ball were the 2 things that we wanted to focus on this year. The secondary, the young secondary, D-Mac, Aaron Colvin, Sip, I think those guys played well. They had some inconsistencies at times early in the year, but really settled down the last, you know, 8 to 9 games. And then young guys like Talvin Smith, you know, he's averaged he had the most tackles over the last 2 weeks of anybody in the NFL, and he's averaged a little over 10 tackles since he started. So that was really good. And then offensively, we knew it would be a tough season. We knew that we'd have 9 of 11 new starters. But I feel like defense is probably where we made our most gains this year.
Thank you.
Lucky, or feel like you're ahead of the game in terms of with Bortles because you didn't want to play him, but you ended up, I mean, you would be going next year without having any idea about
it.
Yeah,
I think it worked out really well for him. You know, I give him a ton of credit. He, you know, you guys see him on the injury report on a weekly basis. He's taken plenty of hits that you guys have documented every game that I see. And, he, you know, the kid's just, he's got a heart that's unmatched, and his competitive desire to win and to compete is really good. But, you know, the experience that he's going to draw from playing these 14 games is going to be great for him next year. He's not going to see things for the first time next year. Everything he sees is going to be, you know, probably for the second time, which has been great.
When you look at your roster at the end of year two, are you where you thought you'd be there with as many young guys filling holes?
Yeah, and really optimistic about it, too. I actually feel better than probably what our record indicates in terms of where the roster is right now. We can go into this draft and not have to draft a player to come in and start right away. That was not the situation in the last 2 years. We've had little margin for error. You know, when you talk about starting seventh round corner, sixth round safeties, sixth round center, third round guards, and coming in undrafted free agent wide receiver, that's not an ideal situation. Fifth round linebacker. Ideally, you want to get to a point in time where your roster is, you know, your first round pick's playing, hopefully right away. Your second round pick may start to play somewhere during the season. And then as the year goes, you know, maybe you have injuries and guys start to play. But the way we've did it has been a little unconventional, and just feel like that we feel good about it. And the experience these guys have got, now they have to get better, and we have to get better as a team. And it has to result in better outcomes of games.
Dave, I don't know if you heard the story from your time up in Indy, but apparently the day after his rookie season, Peyton Manning called his dad and said, "Hey, come pick me up." And the whole car ride down, he's just talking about every mistake he made, 28 picks, 3-13, the whole 9 yards. And finally, Archie turned to him and said, "Son, the best thing about your rookie year is that it ends, and now the game will slow down for you and you'll be fine." What has you confident that that'll happen both for your quarterback and for this young roster that saw so much playing time?
Well, I feel like it did towards the end of the year with Blake, and you saw him cut down dramatically on some of the mistakes that he made early in the year. And I think for Blake, it's been a good balance of cutting down on the mistakes but still trying to be aggressive, and that's what we really wanted him to do. You know, some of the interceptions – I didn't care about, you know, some of the ones where he's trying to make a play, because I think next year or the year after, those might turn into touchdowns, and you don't want to take that out of him. But I think for the most part, his ability to start to identify different protections and things like that has really slowed down for him, and he's really got to a point later in the year where, you know, he felt comfortable that he knew the offense inside and out, and that was a good thing.
How tough is it to improve an offensive line in free agency?
I don't think it's very difficult. I think our offensive line needs to be addressed. I think how we, you know, some of the things that we do with them probably needs to be addressed. But I think for the most part, I think we feel good about our center position, our right guard position, our left tackle. And then the other two positions, you know, they're going to get better by just playing another year, another offseason. Luke Jokel spent 9 months rehabbing. He didn't spend 9 months getting better last year. This will be an offseason where he can spend 9 months getting better. Brandon Linder, Luke Bawanko, those guys have a pretty good plan to come in. Zane Beatles, I know, you know, early on the season was a little inconsistent, but really settled down the last part of the season. And, you know, people forget that it was his first year in this offense, too. He spent 4 years in a different offense, comes in. Just because you're a veteran doesn't mean you know all the intricacies of a different offense either. So I think we need to add some competition there. We need to add some depth. And we'll see where it takes us.
You need to add competition for Beatles or just right tackle?
For everybody. Yeah, everybody. You know, that's our central theme of our organization. We're gonna compete to put the best 22 players out there.
Follow up on the O-line stuff you mentioned. Did you say how they were? How were they used?
Just, you know, some of the things in terms of our zone blocking scheme. I think what our coaches did a nice job is, as you saw halfway through the year, that the run game really started to take off. And we had some games where we ran the ball really well, and using those guys to their strengths. And we all look at the sacks and the sacks we gave up, but we did a pretty good job running the ball later in the year.
Do you think George Yarnell will be back?
You know, Gus has been in contact with him. We've texted back and forth. I know it's his plan to come back. We'll see where it takes us. You know, we're taking it day by day, and we're just thinking and praying for George.
At some point, do you have to make a decision whether you have to hire somebody
no.
there? Or
no.
The injuries to Marks and Miller, does that affect how you view your strength at that position?
No. Ziggy Hood, we signed last year and played good football for us this year. So if we had to start the season with him at Sendarik's spot, we feel good about that. Avery Jones is another one. So, Todd Wash, our defensive line coach, said, with those two guys going down and having off-season knee surgery as a bad thing, the good thing is we have two really good backups. And we'll have to address it and see where we're at. Hopefully we'll have him back for the beginning of the season. Sendarik will be pretty close. Roy should be ready for the off-season, and we'll see where it goes.
What'd you take away from the three rookie receivers?
They're highly competitive. They're great kids. It means something to all of them. I mean, they can't wait to get back to start training and compete. And they're all pretty talented.
What do you make of Bortles' penchant for maybe not making the routine plays for the game and then really stepping up in two-minute drill and late games, crunch time?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. And, obviously a lot of these games in the NFL are won and lost in the last 2 minutes of a game. And if he can be composed during those last 2 minutes, that's great. I think some of the routine stuff, though, that will come. That will come with experience. That will come with, just with him having a better knowledge that he can see a guy on a crossing route and realize that he's going to be there and he doesn't have to rush a throw, that the pass protection is going to be there. So I think, to his question earlier, once it starts to slow down, a lot of those routine throws and plays will become second nature.
Is he playing a little late in the year, maybe a little looking at the rush or expecting the rush?
I didn't notice that too much. I think his clock was pretty much on time. I think, and some of the stuff we may have told him is, look at your first read. If it's a quick game type of thing, they're going to be coming because we're cut blocking, so be aware. And I think for the most part, he stood up there, on that 4th and 10, he stood up in the pocket and hit Cecil in the last drive of the game last week. So I think he's always keeping his eyes downfield.
During draft time, you said Justin Blackmon, if he ever comes back, would be a luxury. Where do you stand now, 7-8 months later, on that topic? And how do you plan going forward with
same thing? We hope for him. We pray for him. Our thoughts are with him. We hope he comes back because we know he's talented. But we know he's also a good person that's fighting a tough battle. But I think you're right. I think we have to treat it as a luxury. If he comes back, that's great. If he doesn't, we can't count on what we feel good about the three guys we got. And if he comes back, that's even better.
We feel like we've heard some good momentum. Are you guys hearing?
Yeah, I'm hearing some good things, and we haven't been in contact with him, but just from some of his people have relayed some messages that he's really kind of dedicating himself to being healthier and coming back. So we'll see.
Why would you want him back? He's let you down a couple of times, and now you have a basis of three young receivers.
Yeah,
he costs a lot on the cap.
No, so, he does.
Well, it's not his number. If he comes back, is what, 4 or 5 or
no?
What is it?
Because the toll's from last year.
What would that be?
I think it's 1.7.
Money aside, why would you want him here?
Well, there's no risk for him. If he comes back and he's a luxury, that that's great for us. There's no downside to it. Do you see a downside to it?
Yeah, I do see a downside. Is you guys talk about creating a culture here and of telling the truth and being accountable. I don't think he's done that.
Yeah, I think there's some issues that may have not allowed him to do that, that we're trying to stand by him and trying to get him where he can do that and be that type of person that we strive to be. Not everybody's perfect, and we said that from the beginning. We're not going to have 53 angelic players. We're going to have some guys with issues. And at the end of the day, if they're willing and to do the right things and show remorse, we're not going to be the ones to judge them for that.
What do you think you'll hear from the league on anything regarding that?
I'm hoping by the time the draft rolls around, so we can plan accordingly.
Staying with that theme of angelic players, how do you take that approach into free agency with some guys that may have had issues with other clubs?
I think for the biggest thing is, we have to identify what we can tolerate here and what is acceptable for us. And then we want guys that are good in the locker room, that are competitive, that really love football. If they have some issues off the field, we want to make sure they're not a menace to society and that they're not going to be a headache and they're not going to be a distraction. But we also want players that are productive in the community. And so if we can find players that can do a lot of those things, we'll have to, weigh the risk-reward on them.
Dave, you have a lot of money to spend. Is this the year you spend it?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what's available. You know, with the salary cap potentially going up, there are the rumors of it going up. You know, teams are going to be able to afford, some of the players that we think are going to hit the market. Our plan was for year three to, infiltrate or bring some free agents in, and we'll see where it's at. We'll see, if we can find some good opportunities.
Which side of the ball are there strengths for both free agency and the draft?
Well, offensive side of the ball, there's some good wide receivers that are free agents this year. And, defensively, interior defensive linemen.
What are your expectations for this offense that has averaged 15 points a game for the last 4 years?
For it to average more than 15 points a game.
We'll see
what we do in the offseason.
Have to spend? As a franchise?
We don't have to spend, not this year. We have to 2017. So in 2017, this past draft class is going to be able to be renewed. So we could see where we're at. But our plan is to, if we spend 95% of the cap over the next 2 years, we'll hit our target. So we don't necessarily have to spend, a ton of money. But our plan, our owner is incredible. He will do, our option not to spend over the last couple of years, that's been my decision. He comes in on a daily basis and asks us every day, can I do anything for you? Do you need anything? Is there anything we can do? And, so it was, my decision not to spend over the last 2 years. He's been there. Anything that we've ever asked for, when we went for Alex Mack last year, he was all for it. He will do whatever he can to create a winner here, and it's my job to help him do that.
Is an accurate number $60 million?
Close. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the bigger, from your position, what's the bigger gamble is if you go after, let's say, three big guys or six free agents? Is your philosophy lean one way or the other?
I think for us it's where we have needs and where those players fit in our needs. And I think if there is a big-time player there that we have a need for it, we'll be aggressive for it. If there's a couple midline players like we did over the last couple of years, we'll do that to gain some depth and be bridges until we can fill those through the draft. And make no mistake, the draft is going to be the lifeline of this organization. And, I was watching a Monday night game, Green Bay and Atlanta, a couple weeks ago, and there was a stat that Green Bay has, they said 48 players had never played for another team. Well, that's where we want to get to. Right now we don't have that, and it's going to take some time, so we have to backfill with free agency.
Do you think your current depth chart will allow you to maybe zero in on a couple guys instead of quantity?
Yeah, I think because we're at a position where we can line up now. We have 22 starters on offense and defense, and we can line up. Now, it's creating serious competition where, maybe some of the draft picks might not make it next year because we have competition and we're a better roster. And, there's going to be attrition from the draft picks. We have 17 of the 17 draft picks on our roster, plus some college free agents, but that's not going to be the case next year.
And Cyprian and Joko earlier, taking a look at some of those guys from your first draft class, have they developed in their second season the way you would have hoped?
Yeah, I think, Cyprian definitely has, in my opinion, and I know our coaching staff feels that way. Luke was set back a little bit because of the injury, but has played some good football. I know, we look at the sacks that he may have given up, but around the NFL, left tackles, they give up sacks. That's what they do. There are some really good ones that give up less than others, but we got to get Luke to that position. Grazi has kind of settled down the last 8 games, and I think the addition of bringing Aaron Colvin in, playing nickel, and some things that with our coaching staff that they've split his reps a little bit, he's done a nice job. Ace has had a setback. Probably hasn't, from a punt return standpoint, been as explosive as we thought. D-Rob has probably exceeded our expectations, and Demetrius McCray has exceeded. And Josh Evans. Josh Evans has, I don't know how many tackles he had this year, 80-some-odd tackles, but has a 6th-round safety. And Demetrius McCray, we feel that we have a legitimate starter as a 7th-round corner.
If
free agent signing that excited a lot of fans last year was Toby Gerhart coming in. I don't know if he could have been more disappointed, I think, with his numbers this year. Was he ever the same after his injury?
Well, I think, you know, disappointed because, you know, fantasy football, you know, there, you know. But we weren't disappointed in Toby. I think Toby had a tough year. He had, you know, from that Philly game on, in terms of being not healthy, you saw some glimpses later in the year when he was healthy, what he could do. And that's why we signed him, and that's what we hope to get out of him in the future.
Did you do it on the Senior Bowl? And then?
No, we're supposed to find out today.
Today?
Yeah.
And your view on it, if you get the opportunity?
Oh, we would love to do it, yeah.
Hey, just to be clear, there's a perception out there that you guys are going to go get, you know, two or three or four top-line free agents. That doesn't sound like that's the case at all. Like you were saying, maybe one, and then
well,
maybe a couple of guys who fit lower.
I think it really depends on – we have to sit down with Gus and the coaching staff and really see what they feel are number one, two, and three needs. Where can we fill those in free agency? And if there are top-line guys at different positions, well, we'll go after them. If there's a top-line guy at one position and some midline guys at another position, well, we'll do that too. And then whatever we don't get in free agency, we'll get through the draft.
Do you guys need to add some veteran presence?
Yeah. I think that's probably the one thing, and I've told Gus this and I told Shad. I probably, in hindsight, should have added more veteran presence going into this year. And where we weren't so forced to play so many rookies right away. I think that's probably the one thing that I probably overlooked was the value of somebody that can just steady the waters, you know, in a game where things start to go awry, and where it probably was a little bit unfair to the rookies and to the coaching staff to saddle with so many rookies. Now, hopefully it pays dividends in year three, four, and five, but I think hindsight for the success of this franchise this year, probably some veteran presence would have helped everybody out.
How do you change that, or how do you address that moving forward? Because that secondary now is going to be third-year guys mm-hmm. with Colvin.
Yeah. Well, our hope is that first draft class, like Sip, you know, he's no longer first, you know, he's a veteran. So D-Mac, he's a veteran. Grazi, those guys are veterans. So I think that's a good thing. I wouldn't necessarily say that maybe we need to add a veteran there, maybe somebody to for some depth for sure. Through the draft class, you know, we can add some more youth in the secondary. But for the most part, you know, some of these guys are turning into veterans in front of our eyes, and just because they're here. But to have some at some of the positions where we're really young, to bring in a veteran wouldn't be a bad thing.
I know you guys did it differently, but, you know, win seven games in 2 years in the NFL, a lot of people start moving, things start moving. Why has Shad been so patient, you think?
I think the communication has been great with Shad. I didn't have grandiose expectations in these first 2 years, to be quite honest with you, of where we would be. And to be quite honest with you, we may have won more games than I anticipated when I first took the job over the two-year period. And I was very honest with Shad of where we were at. And I think he was he knew even before I interviewed where we were at. And when we hired Gus, I told him exactly where we were at from a talent standpoint, and that we're going to do this with the youth. And when you do it with youth, you're going to have adversity, and you're going to have a lot of it early on. And, you know, we just said that it's going to pay dividends, and we're going to build this the right way. We're going to build it through the draft, and we're going to be wise with the cap until it comes time that we feel like we can compete. And we weren't going to do it until we felt like we had the quarterback situation resolved.
When do the expectations become grandiose? Next year, year after?
I guess it depends what your grandiose means to you.
Well, what does it mean to you?
Well, I would expect us to win more games in the next couple of years, for sure. I don't think, you know, some of these close games that we didn't take advantage of, I expect to be victories in the next couple of years.
As a follow-up, do you have a true number one receiver in this building?
I don't know that yet. I don't know. And not a lot of teams do, though. So you can win and be successful without having a true number one.
How realistic next year?
We'll see what we do in the offseason. We'll see. It depends on what we do in free agency and how the draft falls.
In most recent drafts, the exception of Richardson, running backs have been devalued. If underclassmen come out, could that change this year? Would you be interested in taking one at some point?
Well, I always felt like that would be the last piece that we would add. So we'll see where we're at. We probably have bigger pressing needs than that position right now. But if the right time, if there's a guy available, you know, we'll address that.
Lesney and Marcy
in the receivers room.
Well, we got Jerry. He's pretty. He's pretty veteran. Yeah. So, but yeah. Well, you know, this year we probably would have. Going into next year, I'm not so sure, because now these guys are veterans. You know, Alan Hearns, Marquise, Alan Robinson, they're veterans now. So this past year probably would have been good to have one.
Your two biggest cap hits next year are Wes Lesley and Lewis, both 30-ish, both coming with injury-filled seasons. Does their cap figure into your decision, or is it more about the player?
It's more about the player. And when we sit down with Gus and the coaching staff, we'll figure out what the best course of action with those two guys are. And, you know, I Puz has been incredible in terms of his leadership, and he has some things that you can't measure by just watching him, but I think he's still got some productive years ahead of him, and same with Mercedes. So.
Does their veteran presence that you just talked about have value to keep them?
Yes.
Is Cecil still part of this team going forward?
That's something we have to address with our coaching staff, too. You know, all of our free agents, all the guys that we haven't re-signed yet, we're going to spend the next 3 weeks really kind of looking at our roster and looking at you know, who fits, who doesn't fit, what our needs are, and we'll see.
You guys are now 2 years into this partnership that you've described together. How has your working relationship grown? How have things changed, and what have you learned from him?
We challenge each other probably more than we did in year one, I would say. But it's the communication is better than ever. I love working with him more today than I did the first day. So he's been great. He challenges me more than ever, which is good too for everybody around this building. And I think it's like I said, I don't envy the job that he has had to do the last 2 years, and I haven't done him any favors. So with the youth and the amount of young players that we've had to go, to in the games with, it is not something that's easy for anybody to do. And so outside of us being challenged more, and that's about it.
If sitting at number three now, is that a good spot, or do you think there'll be some value there if the two quarterbacks go one?
Yeah, I think this draft class is a lot like last year's. It's going to be very heavy at receiver again. And there are some impact players in that, top 10 that really throughout the whole first round, I think you can get good value.
In this day and age in the NFL, going the way you guys are, going youth all the way up, it's sort of like putting an expansion team together without all the extra draft picks and stuff. It's so hard. Why choose it to do that when you know it's going to be ridiculously hard?
Well, what they say, anything easy isn't worth doing, or that one. So it's it's part of the reason why I chose to take this job in Jacksonville, because I knew the challenge, and I knew it was going to be extremely rewarding when we look back and say, remember 2013, 2014 when we played all those young guys, and now, see them grow in front of your eyes, and now we have, hopefully a team that we can be proud of, not only inside this building, but across the city of Jacksonville.
Dave, so there's no doubt in your mind this is working?
There's no doubt, no. There's no doubt. I think this has been our vision, and we're going to make mistakes. We have made mistakes. So hopefully we don't have any setbacks. Hopefully our players stay healthy. But I think we just have to continue to build and get more players and get better players. And I think our coaching staff can lead them to where we need to go.
What tangibles do you have that it's working? I mean, obviously win-loss isn't there.
Well, I think for we didn't come within 17 points of a playoff team last year. And, we had opportunity to we were close to a lot of them this year, and that was at halftime. So tangible, we won some games, but we didn't beat a playoff team. This year, Pittsburgh was a game that we were into the final 2 minutes. Baltimore, for all intents and purposes, we played really well up in a very difficult situation. Cincinnati, we came back within three late in the game. I think that in itself, the Texans were a 9-7 team, and, we were four plays away from winning that game this past weekend. So I think you may look at the win-loss record, but when you look at, the product on the field and how they've competed, I think it's pretty clear that we got better.
About 50% roster turnover throughout this year from last year. What's an ideal percentage going into week one next year?
Not that. I think you know, it wasn't an ideal situation to start 10 rookies this year in different games, but that's what we chose to do. Next year, hopefully that's not our case. I think we'll have some turnover, but not nearly as much as 50%.
12, 13, 14?
Probably, I would guess so. If that's 53 players. Yeah, about yeah. Probably. You figure maybe our 7 draft picks and then some free agents and about 15 players or so.
How do you evaluate JT Thomas? How do you evaluate JT Thomas this year?
Just by watching video and seeing how he practices.
How did you feel like?
I don't think
you
made out.
Oh, I think he played really well. I think I think he came in, did a really nice job. He, you know, he started the year as our weak outside backer. Comes in, we get Telvin. We felt good about there. Had Gino there. And then Puz goes down. He's our backup Mike, and we had him at Otto for a period of time. So for a guy to play all three positions, and he's a very good special teamer too. He's athletic. He's fast. I think he had a nice year and did himself fairly well this last 8 games.
Are you better at linebacker than you thought coming into this year?
Yeah. You know, the addition to Telvin, for what he's done, being a fifth-round pick and coming in and playing the way he did, has been a great I don't want to call it a surprise because then it makes it look like that. But it's been a great surprise. And like I told Telvin walking yesterday, I said, you know, hopefully we can count on you next year, because if he plays like he did for 16 games, like he did the last 5, he'll be a Pro Bowl caliber player.
Best and worst moment of the year for you?
Best moment was probably the Browns game, winning that game, because it was our first win. Worst moment, just the fact that it's over. You'd like to still be playing this time of year. Hopefully we'll be playing this time of year, years to come.
The first 2 years, the schedule obviously hasn't done you any favors. Have you guys talked about how to change it up to get to a better start?
Yeah, I think, you know, our training camp reps and some of the stuff we do in training camp, we have a little bit of a hurdle here with the humidity and the heat that we have here. I know Shad is willing to improve our facilities and do some things that whatever he can do. But I think for the most part, it's just really trying to take care of our players and OTAs and mini camps so that, you know, we don't have those hamstring pulls where, you know, Allen Robinson starts against Philadelphia but only practices 6 games over a 5-month period. So those things will set you back and maybe come out of the gate a little slower.
Besides receiver, if in the draft, is it defensive line, offensive line? Are they pretty strong, or is it?
It's a good offensive line year, and it's good. Yeah, it's a pretty good draft year all the way around. I would say, if anything, tight ends and linebackers might be a little bit thin right now.
It's not like I think all these rookies are going to make this big step next year, and that doesn't usually happen. You know, some rookies just.
Well, I would say this. I would say rookies make their biggest jump from year one to year two, and you know, do I think all 10 of them are going to be Pro Bowlers next year? No, I don't, Vito. But I think they'll take a step up, yeah. And it does happen. It's just you don't recognize it because most of them don't play as rookies, and then they come in as their second year and play. So we're just in an unfortunate situation where these guys have been under a microscope for a year, and this time last year they were playing in a bowl game. You know, so they will take a big jump up. I do believe that.
I think it was Baltimore that said some nice things about what you guys were doing, saw some progress when you played them. Any other anecdotal evidence that people kind of said, you know what, even though you're struggling here, we think it looks
good?
Yeah,
I get some texts from quite a few people, and they're not the texts we want. We really want to say congratulations on making the playoffs and that stuff. But I think I get a lot of texts from a lot of people across the league, and a lot of, you know, people, personnel people. Some of them are envious in terms of, man, I wish we could do it here. I wish that we could have the patience to do that. I think, you know, some people just say, hey, you know, I see what you're doing. I see how it's going. And, you know, Gus is doing a great job and developing these young players. And so I think there is a lot of that. But, you know, that's all great. That's not our goal. Our goal is much greater than that.
I'm sorry, real quick. The patience aspect. So it's not, there's no belief at all from Shad that this thing is make or break next year in 2015.
No, he hasn't given me that. He's been incredibly supportive. We spent a good time yesterday talking, and he understands what we're trying to do. I've communicated to him, and, you know, he's going to want results, and especially if we invest a lot more of his money this year, he's going to want more results. I don't doubt that, and he should. And the city of Jacksonville should too. I want results too. But understand the process and understand that this is the path we chose, and we believe in it. So,
would you like to re-sign Tyson?
I would. Yeah.
Do you think that will start before the market, or do you want?
We'll see. I have to meet with the coaches again too, on the defense side of the ball with all those guys. But I told Tyson after the game, if we can, we'd like to get him back some way somehow.